This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Omar in Brooklyn.
Omar.
I wanted to hear from Dave Rothenberg and Delbert. Who is the best team in AFC?
I shut down as soon as I realized he had no idea what my name was. I shut right down.
Was it and the other guy?
No, it was like, Aaron DePiro.
Dave Rothenberg and Delbert.
DePiro!
This is Delbert and Rothenberg.
Dave Rothenberg and
Del Perro. On 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, my name is
Good.
My name is
Del Perro and Rothenberg, presented as always by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on Del Perro and Rothenberg appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Rex Ryan will be on a little later this hour.
Excuse me.
Waxing poetic about the greatness of New York football.
Yeah, I feel bad. I mean, we've only had him on 1 week. Where it's been actually positive things to talk about.
Well, that was last week.
Yeah, that was the last. I mean, is it?
And now this week, the Giants, I mean, literally, they're a MASH unit. The Jets, you know, have a standalone game, bright and early, first thing in the morning on Sunday. They look like they've never started to play football. I mean, just terrible.
I'll tell you right now what the conversation today is going to be, and this is the beauty of being on in the morning, is going to be all these frauds talking about, oh, you can't have Daniel Jones run the football like that. It's too dangerous. You can't have him do it. The same people that were screaming, Jason Garrett sucks at his job, and they have to use Daniel Jones' ability to run to spark the offense.
Well, that's the nice thing about us doing the show first thing. We get the first word out there, right? We are like the first word in New York sports. You know, I think you're going to have this conversation. I know what the answer is going to be, but are you going to sign Saquon Barkley to a long-term deal?
No, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either, and you know that they will.
Well, it depends.
They're
going
to.
It will depend on whether or not, I mean, if Dave Gettleman is still the GM, yeah, they'll sign him.
Well, there's no chance Gettleman's going to be the GM.
Okay,
this year.
Well, then in that case, I mean, you have to make a decision. I mean, call it freak, whatever you want to call it. I mean, the guy has not, outside of his rookie year, hasn't been able to stay healthy.
No.
He hasn't.
Year two, hurt, right? I mean, hamstring, major issue. Year three, missed the entirety of it with the catastrophic knee injury. And then he comes back, and he's playing well, and he finally makes plays last week. And then it wasn't even a normal injury. It's almost like an injury you've never seen before. The play is over. He's not facing the defender. He steps on his foot. Ankle rolls terribly, out for the game. And that, I would be very hard-pressed to imagine he's on the field this coming week.
No. There's no chance. I mean, unless I shouldn't say there's no chance. Who knows? I mean, ankles are crazy like that sometimes.
Very unlikely.
I guess there's no damage inside of it.
Well, the thing swelled up immediately.
I understand that. Yeah, it looked awful. Especially for a running back. So, yeah, I would imagine he's not going to play. And then you're dealing with all the other injuries on the offensive side of the ball. Who knows what, I mean, if Daniel Jones is going to get through concussion protocol.
He certainly might not. I mean, that was not normal concussion yesterday. That was, he didn't know where he was. Like, he couldn't,
no.
he couldn't walk.
Yeah, that
game.
Happened to me. We had, in practice, we were doing a two-on-one drill, and Brian Rolston, who's got an absolute cannon of a shot, and this is when I was wearing that old school, I had to switch to that old school helmet. Like with the real player's helmet with the mask on it, the cage on it.
Right.
Because that was the only way I could get my face in a mask after I broke my face. It's not protective at all, really. I mean, it was just whatever. It covered your head. He comes down and the pass goes across like in slow motion, like this slow pass across the ice. And I come across and he skates from blue line to probably almost the face-off dot and takes a one-timer that hit me square between the eyes in the forehead. Like, blue paint from the helmet.
Ugh.
Just sprayed everywhere. Like, it cracked my helmet. And I got up thinking I'm okay. And same thing like Daniel Jones. I go to take a couple steps, straight down.
Really?
Straight down.
What was the length of concussion? Like, how much time did you miss?
Well, that was probably my, at that point, probably like my eighth or ninth concussion. So that took a little bit longer, but it depends. It all depends on how each individual is different. Could be a couple days, could be worse.
Could be weeks. I mean, we don't know.
No, I mean, concussions are weird like that on how it affects each person.
Right, and you could take the same hit and 2 days later you're fine. You could take that very hit and you're out for weeks and weeks and weeks. You never know.
That's the scary part, though, is that you got to take your time with it, and he's got to be honest with the training staff, because I know he's a tough guy and he wants to play, But it's, if you don't allow the original concussion to heal all the way,
mm-hmm.
then you're more prone to be reconcussed.
Yep.
And even worse. And it usually ends up being worse. Like, I came back too soon from my first concussion, like trying to be a tough guy, like, oh, I come back, I'm fine. And then I just got bumped behind the net. I had my head down and kind of got guy skated by me and glanced the side of my head. And I got post-concussion. I was out months. And felt like it just was awful. Like,
right. And you don't sound, feel well, right? Like the light bothers you and you,
oh, you're just irritable. You feel like you're hungover.
And I mean, it could, I mean, you could throw up. I mean, you don't know how far it could go. And hopefully yeah, it's not that bad with him. But that was bad. Like there are guys that get knocked out, and that just watching him try to walk, he had to be carted off.
Well, you saw the Dallas Cowboys guys react. Like, they thought he was going to go down.
Right.
Like, they started going towards him. Like, we're going to have to catch this guy before he falls down.
Right. It was a scary scene. Let's go to Andy and Merrick. Morning, Andy. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, DPR. Dave, you can lay out for this for the next minute. I got a question for 39.
What's going on, Andy? The studio, are we done with the studio yet?
We're right there. We're right there, my man. So, a former athlete, man, no stranger to injuries. Can you tell me why in the modern NFL there's no running back other than Derrick Henry who can stay healthy? It used to be you plug in a Curtis Martin, you got 16 games out of him. There's not a running back in the league other than Henry who could stay healthy that doesn't get carted off. What's your thought?
The size and speed of what's going on right now. I mean, I just think athletes in general are more prone to injury just because they're in – it's almost like they're in too good a shape. But what happened with Saquon yesterday? That's such a freak.
Oh, God.
That's such a freak injury. Like, yeah, the other stuff, though,
Clyde
like
Edwards-Helaire last night, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, David Montgomery, Chicago. There's not a team that's not ravaged in their backfield.
Well, I mean, Cleveland's running back staying healthy. Zeke, for the most part, stays pretty healthy.
Although he went down yesterday, and you thought, uh-oh.
Yeah, he looked like he was back.
How about Aikman, too? And thanks for the call in. Aikman, Amari Cooper, he'll be out for the game. That looks serious. And then two plays later, he's back in there.
I'm done making proclamations.
And he's so certain. Clearly, he's going to be out for the rest of the game.
You won't see him again.
Yeah. And then look who's lined up wide. It's Amari Cooper. It's like, Troy, do me a favor. Stop it.
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that question that Andy just had. What Saquon happened to Saquon was freak. That's just a freak injury.
Totally freak injury.
But the soft tissue stuff is that, like, just these guys don't rest enough. They train too much, man. Like, these guys don't take any time off.
But doesn't this go back to the point that we had years ago with the fragility of running backs? Why would you ever take a running back with the second overall pick?
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, and especially when you look at, I mean, some of the teams that have really successful running games, it's, I mean, a lot of the time you're using more than one running back. So to spend the second overall pick on a running back that, you know, in all honesty, is probably better off not having to carry the load by himself. I mean, Zeke's definitely a better running back now that he has Pollard.
Yeah.
To give him a blow once in a while.
First of all, the dynamic is so different. Their offensive line is so good. I mean, they are really like the perfectly built offense. Right, their offensive line is great. Their quarterback is very good. They have multiple receivers. They have multiple tight ends. Now they have Zeke. Now they have Pollard. Like, they are almost the prototypical offense right now.
Yeah, they're one of the best offenses in the league, especially with the level Dak's playing at right now and how he's seeing defenses. I mean, you can tell the game slowed down for him. But I mean, as far as the running back is concerned, too, the other issue is if all of a sudden, even with Carolina, like, you start building your system, like your offensive system, around a really dynamic running back.
I think you're too reliant.
Well, then they get hurt, and now what do you do?
Right, and then you have Hubbard, who's fine, and Booker is fine, but you're too reliant.
So, I mean, they'll have a decision to make, but I get it because he's such a good kid. Like, if you wanted someone to represent your organization, Saquon Barkley is that kind of guy.
He's a great kid, and all of the upset that I have and the anger and the vitriol has nothing to do with him. I think he's a great kid. I'm happy he's on the Giants. It will never make sense to me. It didn't make sense to me at the draft. They thought it was going to change the dynamic of this team. He was great, and they still couldn't win games.
Yeah, so but you know I why just, it didn't make the sense? You know why it doesn't make sense to you, and it'll never make sense to you? Because it wasn't a decision made out of, like, it was an emotional decision that was made.
It was to try to save what they thought they could be.
Exactly. Well, no, it was to save Eli Manning. It was the owner making the decision that we want to go one more time with Eli.
But to think that it's comical now, right? To think that we are an elite running back away from changing the fortune of this organization. That's now 4 years ago.
Yeah, but it is exactly what the Dallas Cowboys tried to do with Tony Romo. I mean, at the end of the Tony Romo, I mean, Dak ends up with the team because Tony Romo...
But at least they had a good offensive line.
But what else did Dave Gettleman say when he came in? What else did he try to do when he came in? He just didn't do a good job with it.
No, he's just not competent. That therein lies the problem. Let's go to Hamilton in the Bronx. Hamilton, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Dave, what's going on? Rick, what's up? Question is for you, Dave. What would be worse for you? The Yankees winning the World Series or the the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl?
It's the Cowboys. God.
It's the Cowboys, but both are just horrible thoughts.
How about them Cowboys?
Horrible, horrible thoughts. Because the Cowboys, I mean, like, I don't even, and thanks to the call, Hamilton, I don't even remember, really, the Cowboys. I mean, I do remember, but it's been a long time since the Cowboys have been to the Super Bowl. A long time.
I don't even think that's close. That's like the gap between me and Rosenberg, looks-wise. That gap.
And by the way, did you hear me on the K-Show on Friday, defending you?
Of course I heard you, and I loved every second of it. I'll tell you what, though.
Because I'm a good friend.
No. But this is the beauty of you. And people, I don't think people truly give you enough credit for how funny you are. The best part of that whole bit was when Peter asked you, well, where would you rank yourself? And you were like, yeah, right between you and Rick.
Yeah.
Behind Rick, but ahead of you.
That's
He's
right.
Like, excuse me?
Yeah, that's right. He has this. I don't know. You know, like people have like body dysmorphia where they look at themselves like, I'm not 400 pounds. He has this thing where he thinks he's very handsome.
Yeah, he has the reverse. Like most people like dysmorphia is like you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, I don't look great. He's the opposite.
Right. He looks at himself. He's like, look at me. Like, I wonder if he looks in the mirror and he's just like, Clooney, look at me. Right? Brad Pitt's got nothing on me. Like, he's not a bad looking guy.
No, he's not. No, he's not. No, he's not bad at all. But I mean, that's... You got to have that kind of confidence, I guess.
I guess.
It's delusional, but it is what it is.
It is confidence.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy.
You could say that 10,000 times and it still wouldn't be enough.
It fires me up, man.
I love
it.
Say it one more time.
A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question.
It doesn't have to be the Jets or the Giants. It can be, if you want to rehash that, but it can be other real football teams as well. 800-919-3776 DiPietro and Rothenberg with you, presented as always by Progressive Insurance. You need a frenzy, don't you, today to kind of try to wipe the stink off what we saw this weekend?
I could use multiple frenzies today after what happened yesterday.
Yeah, I agree.
I will say, though, pumpkin chocolate chip pancakes in the fall, I'm not sure it gets much better.
Hits the spot.
Oh, phenomenal.
Did you eat your face off after the Jets soiled themselves yesterday?
Cassie made me so many pancakes, she's like, we're going to have to save some of these. Like, nope.
Nope.
I promise you, there will be no pancake left behind.
You're such a trooper. You really are. What a trooper. 800-919-3776. No salutations. No, how are you? Love the show. Huge fan of Del Piero. I mean, been listening to him for years.
Italian soccer player.
None of it. Big time soccer player, but not the co-host of the show here. Let's go. Troy in Queens. Troy, lead us off. You're on the frenzy.
Who will have the better pick in next year's draft, Bears or the Giants?
The Giants will have the better pick, but the Giants have both picks. But the Giants will have the worst season than the Bears. The Bears have three wins.
They have three wins now. You know what's amazing? And I'm glad he asked that question because I wanted to bring it up. The two best things we have going for us right now in New York football is that both teams have first-round picks. The Bears aren't great. And now, with the Jets, Seattle loses Russell Wilson for at least a month.
Yep.
And we have their pick.
Yep. That could be...
You don't love
their chances to make the playoffs right now. So you're looking at maybe a top half of the first round.
I mean, that's where we're at.
In week five.
That's where we're at.
Yeah. Let's go to Moses. Oh, I've been waiting for Moses for a long time in Dallas. You're on the frenzy, Moses.
Should the Giants make a push for Garoppolo this offseason?
No, come on. Garoppolo? Why would they possibly go after Jimmy Garoppolo?
No, if you're going to go after a veteran quarterback, you're going to go after Russell Wilson.
Right. Yeah. You think? I mean, honestly, you think Garoppolo is better than Daniel Jones? No.
No, I don't think there's much difference.
No. So why would you go after that? Why would you go after the equal for what you have now?
I don't think you would.
No. Is it ridiculous? Come on. Be better. 800-919-3776.
Don't be mean to Moses because he's from Dallas. Stop. You're projecting.
Well, it was a ridiculous question, and he happens to be from Dallas.
You took the bait. He was taunting you, and you took the bait.
You know what? It was screened for me, and I took it. Steven Nanuet. Steve, you're on the frenzy.
Hey, with the Giants probably having two picks in the top end of the first round, do you think they go load up on best offensive linemen, or have you seen enough from Jones where maybe they put together those two picks and go after one of the QBs?
I don't know yet. I do not have the answer.
You can't answer that question until you figure out what's happening with Dave Gettleman. That's
going to be
the first thing.
And you listen. You have to allow assuming Judge is back, a Judge new GM combination to determine if they want to move forward with this quarterback.
We are the Giants.
Let me ask you, as a Giants fan, because I know how I feel about it. Are we at a point yet where you've had enough of listening to Joe Judge speak?
Yep. Absolutely.
I think I'm at that point. His delivery, his voice.
It's hollow, too. Like, these guys that say stuff that it doesn't pan out. We're going to be so disciplined, and it's
a pretty distinct
coach
line,
speak.
Okay, in terms of, competing and doing things that we're not going to condone as a team that put us behind. That's not going to be accepted. It's not going to be condoned. So, yeah, that's his fault.
Well, it may not be acceptable, but that's what you are right now.
It wasn't just Tony, too. It was Leonard Williams trying to rip Pollard's head off.
No, you're not a disciplined football team. So you started – I mean, you're wasting challenges. You're wasting timeouts. You don't know what's happening there. And then this, guys undisciplined. It just – it goes to show you that there's different ways to approach as the head coach of a football team in the NFL. Danny, Long Island. Danny, you're on the frenzy.
So a lot of bad things in the last 24 hours, but Omar calling up at 6:30 in the morning and twisting the knife in Dave's back after Dave's team played well but suffered devastating injuries was the worst thing I've heard on sports radio in 25 years. Omar needs to be banned. The 11th commandment, thou shalt not twist the knife in Dave's back. That was horrible. That was disgraceful. Didn't even know Rick's name. And by the way, Rick, the only thing that goes after the word pumpkin is pie. I'm out.
That's a great call right there.
That's a good call. Should we ban
Omar? I don't disagree.
Yeah, we'll have to convene as a show unit and determine the punishment for Omar. But I think it has to be something because it was uncalled for. And you know what? Also, to be that euphoric or what you should be that euphoric about your own team and then to take shots at something that has nothing to do with that. I mean, the Bills are the best team in football. You haven't been able to say that in 30 years. Enjoy that moment. Don't focus on me, what I said with the Yankees last week.
Yeah, but here's the problem with Omar, though, Dave, is that, I mean, he doesn't even deliver like him. I mean, this is not the first time this has happened. Like, we're lucky it got funny because he didn't know my name. But otherwise, that was not a call where he delivered. Like, he's supposed to call, be crazy about the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
Or the other times we need him, he don't show up.
That's right. I think a banning is probably appropriate at this point for Omar. Brian and Bergen. Brian, you're on the frenzy.
How concerned should I be with the Broncos right now?
I think you should be that concerned. I mean, how good are they?
What's the concern, though? They're not going to make the playoffs?
I mean, they are a 9-win football team. I think that's what they are.
Yeah, but, I mean, look at their division, though, man. I mean, you still think Kansas City's better than them, and you know the Chargers are better than them.
Yes. Best case scenario, you're the third team in your division.
Best case.
Although the Chiefs do not look very good at the moment.
No, but they still have Pat Mahomes.
Right. And they go to Washington, and he should feast on that defense. Corey in Greenwich. Corey, you're on the frenzy.
Two quick questions. No offense. How come you guys never talk about college football? And if the Giants had a better backup quarterback, and if they beat the Cowboys and they beat the Rams, would he be playing instead of Daniel Jones?
No. No, Corey must be the one that keeps tweeting that, why don't we talk about college football?
I guess so. If the audience wanted us to get into college football, we would. But they don't.
Like, so I could sit down here. I mean, I could break down Iowa-Penn State for you if you wanted to, but that's just not
a good game.
What people want to hear.
Yeah. Ohio State put up 60-plus points. Rutgers, very competitive against Michigan State. We can break down.
You know that Mama Fontana, Deborah, Lynn, Chapin, Iowa, So, of course, I got to watch
28 seconds of this. 28 seconds of just listening to nothing when Texas A&M kicked the game-winning field goal. 28 seconds.
This is pure shock is what it is.
He couldn't say a word.
Well, why did the color guy step in then? The color guy's got to do his job then.
It's not his job.
Step in.
It's not his job.
Well, the league is going to get themselves $250,000.
All right, I'll ask you. What's worse? Here, great question. What's worse? Your Comrex goes down. I step in. Now, yeah. Open was awful, but at least I stepped in. Or what that guy
to get into
what,
today.
What that guy did.
Thank you.
What that guy did.
At least the league is going to get themselves $250,000.
He's me. He's petulant. He's immature. He's angry. I mean, his team lost, and he didn't even say they lost the game.
I got to step in, though, as the color guy and filibuster a little bit. At least say what happened. At least I can't believe he just made that kick or something like that.
I don't know. That's really – there you go. They're blowing the frenzy dead all on their own.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Rex, we appreciate, as always, a couple minutes on Monday. Boy, the Giants didn't just lose yesterday, huh? They physically lost this game. How troubling is this now that you got hammered by Dallas? Your quarterback couldn't even walk off the field. Barkley's hurt again. Galladay's hurt again. I mean, if you're the head coach, you're Joe Judge right now, what are you telling your team after another heartbreaking and really injury-plagued loss yesterday?
Yeah, man, I tell you what, I mean, it's going to be tough. If you're Joe Judge, obviously it's tough. The next man has to step up. And you know, but again, you just got beat by 24 points. And listening to Joe Judge, they're like, hey, you know, we're stepping in. Guys stepped in and, you know, were ready to play and played well. And then you got beat by 24 points. And, you know, when Daniel Jones, everybody can get on Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, whatever. Well, look what happened when they left. I mean, you know, and so they imploded. Like, this team had, like, it would be crazy to actually see this team finally be healthy together. Daniel Jones to have Ingram healthy, Tony, Saquon, Galladay, Shepard, all these guys. But we haven't seen that yet. So how good could the Giants be? I don't know. We'll never know. But to me, right now, I mean, they have to be healthy, and they're not. So, I mean, this team's, you know, they got one win.
Rex, you're a defensive guy, so I want to ask you this question. Going into the season, I mean, there's been a bunch of different surprises. I think the Washington football team's defense, how bad they've been, has been a humongous surprise. But when we broke down the Giants, you know, there were some question marks about, you know, what Saquon would look like when he comes back. You know, could Daniel Jones protect the football? But we just all assumed that the Giants defense would pick up where it left off last year. It was good, and then you added Dory Jackson, it should be better. I mean, through 5 weeks, it's been disappointing. What have you seen so far from this Giants D?
Yeah, disappointing to say the least. You know, it's, you know, everybody was talking about this, you know, the defense coordinator being the next head coach somewhere, like hot candidate and all that. Why? Because you had one decent year? And sometimes we get tied up into this thing, like thinking, oh, this guy's legit. You know, this defense is legit. Nah, this is a prove-it league. You got to prove it every time out, and the Giants haven't done that so far. And, you know, like they have a chance going in there. You're thinking, all right, the defense, just be who we thought you were going to be. Well, they haven't done that the entire season.
Rex Ryan with us, 98.7 ESPN. So Rex, and you might not have the answer, and it hasn't changed in years. How does it change? Like, is there any reason to think that this thing, with there's still a lot of football to play this season for the Giants, changes with the injuries, with just the lack of everything going on right now? Is there any reason to think it changes as we move forward this season?
Well, you got to look at yourself first. You know, what are you doing? What are you asking your players to do? And as a coach, your job is to put your guys in the best possible situation to be successful. And that's what they got to do. Are they doing that? I don't know, man. Like, you know, it doesn't look like it. So, you know, as a coach, that's how you start. And, you know, but if you're just going to trot out there and do the exact same thing, your football team's going to look at you like, really? Like, we're going to get, like, it hadn't been good enough so far. So to me, sometimes there's a little mental trick to it to like, okay, hey, guys, we got the answers. This is what we're going to do. Boom. And you got to be passionate and you know, excited about some of the changes you're going to make. And, I mean, I think you got to change something. And I think that's that you have to be creative as a coach. And if not, you're stuck in a rut right now. And it's only going to get worse. And, you know, and I'm afraid that this is what the Giants are looking at.
Rex Ryan joins us here on the show. Speaking of doing the same thing over and over again, New York Jets, slow starts. I mean, it's, again, another game where they get down early. They've been outscored 30-0 in the first quarter of these games. And I know Mike LaFleur is a rookie offensive coordinator, but I was under the assumption like that you're, you know, usually when you script the first drive, that should be like the best of how it looks, and it's looked horrendous. It's 3-0, 3-0, 3-0. It's just it's awful. And Zach Wilson looks like, again, he regressed yesterday. I mean, Rex, how do you fix this? Like, how do you get into these games and get off to a better start if you're the Jets?
Yeah, I think first off, like, that's your preparation. Like, how you start a game is a direct correlation to your preparation. And the fact the Jets have started off as bad as they have, I don't know, it doesn't speak well. At least I always thought it was as a coach. You know, how you come out of the blocks is all that work you've done. You know, and you're right, those first 15 plays, scripted plays, you should be successful. You've worked them all week. Hey, let's go over. All right, here's how we're going to start the game. There's a comfort level there. And unfortunately for the Jets, man, I mean, that stat you just read is crazy. But they haven't scored. Like, it's nuts. It's absolutely nuts.
Rex.
And you're right. You know, this is a young coordinator and all that. But why'd you give him the job in the first place? If he wasn't going to be better than this, why would you give him the job in the first place?
Rex, not only have they not scored in the first quarter, they have 63 total yards through 5 weeks in the first quarter. 63.
Yeah. Well, they had, what, six plays in the first quarter?
Yeah.
This yes. week, that was good. 2-3 and outs. Holy cow.
Oh.
And again, you're playing. Now look, I knew it was going to be a pillow fight, right? You've got the worst defense in the league in the Atlanta Falcons giving up the most points. And you got the worst offense in the league with the Jets scoring the fewest points. So it was going to be a pillow fight. And sure enough, it didn't disappoint. You know, those poor people over there in Europe, man.
Yeah.
Thank God they don't really know the difference, man. They got all kind of different jerseys on and all that stuff. But it's like, oh, boy, we're sending over, like, two of the worst teams in the league. And, you know, hopefully they'll get better teams than the next time.
No, Rex, you know what they have this week? Jaguars and Dolphins go over to England this week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's even worse.
We're trying to start
that's
a Cold War or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not
maybe
good.
The Jags will have a chance to get a win. At least the Jets got a win.
Yeah, they do have one. So I know that you think Zach Wilson is tremendously talented and,
yeah.
and has a really, really bright future. But, I mean, I just watch him try to make these simple throws, and he can't make them at this point. Is there?
Oh, that screen pass was brutal, dude.
I mean,
off Morgan Moses' head?
It's amazing.
And he's doing everything he can to get out of the way. Like, he's trying to duck, but that was just absolutely brutal, you know. But look, I'm telling you, it's the kid has a great skill set. Don't give up on him. I'm telling you, don't give up on him. It's hard, but I think when everything else around you is bad, it's, you know, you look bad at times. So hopefully he can weather this storm and start getting to where he's a little more comfortable and be able to just rip it.
But that's what's amazing, though, Rex. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm sure you would scheme up against these young quarterbacks where it's like, okay, we're going to take away the middle of the field and we're going to make them work outside the numbers. It's like, no, we're going to take outside the numbers away because we know we can throw the ball there, but we're going to give him everything underneath and he can't make throws. It's like the opposite of what you usually see with the rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, look, most rookie quarterbacks you play to their hand. So, in other words, a right-handed quarterback, you load the field to, you know, that way, make him throw across his body.
Mm-hmm.
But look, you could tell, like right now, man, this is, you know, this is a different league. And as talented as he is, he's a shorter quarterback. Sometimes those underneath throws are harder. You know, you know, to where it's like, okay, I've got to feather this thing in there or whatever. He looks like a guy that is surprised to see where the guy is. like he doesn't know. So something along the line is, like, I'm expecting this receiver, you know, on the numbers. Well, if he's not on the numbers exactly, he's struggling a little bit, in my opinion, to adjust to where the player is or where he's going. So those are little things that take time, and you kind of got to be a little patient with it. I'm just telling you, stick with it a little bit. The kid will get it.
Rex Ryan with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Last one for me, and I know you got to run, but non-Giants and non-Jets. Are the Chiefs in trouble?
Oh, hell yeah. Absolutely. Look, they're not playing well. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes is phenomenal. But you know what? Patrick Mahomes not playing as well as he did in the past. And to think about, like, their defense, they can't stop anybody. Speaking of another group that can't stop anybody, that's Kansas City. And to think that, look, the Chargers are healthy finally. We knew if that team was healthy that they can compete with anybody. At the end of last year, even with a roster that was depleted, they won their last four games. So you knew it was coming. This team stays healthy. Justin Herbert's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, would you take a quarterback over him right now? I don't know. Maybe Josh Allen. That'd be about it. But either way, I just think that at 100% they're in trouble. Because right now they're, what, two games behind the Chargers in the win column, and they got beat by the Chargers. So,
In Kansas City.
What's that?
In Kansas City, that
In Kansas
game.
City, right. Exactly. So, yes, 100% they're in trouble. And like we said, it's a prove, like, you know, it's a prove it league. You got to go out there. And it's almost like they think that we'll show up when the playoffs do. Well, you know what? It ain't going to happen. You might not even make the playoffs if that's your mentality. They have to do something defensively. And, I mean, number one, why is Chris Jones playing defensive end instead of being one of the best defensive tackles in the league? I don't get that. You know, I know he got hurt in the game and stuff, but put him back where he belongs, inside, you know, where he can collapse the pocket on people. That's one of those brilliant moves by Spags. It's like, what? Like, don't, you know, you may think you're doing something there to help the guy out. You're not. So put his butt back inside. I think that'll be that, at least that's one thing that you could do positively. Get him back where he belongs.
All right, Rex, listen, great stuff. We know you got to run. Organized Chaos, your podcast with Bart Scott, always good stuff. I'm sure it's hot and emotional this week. We appreciate you, and we will talk to you a week from today.
All right, look forward to it, guys. Thank you.
All right, great stuff. That, of course, Rex Ryan, the Rex Ryan Report, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. And now is your chance to qualify for Week 6 Pigskin Payout. It's your chance to play in the 98.7 ESPN Sportsbook and win $250 or up to $1,000 for correctly picking the Big Blue and Los Angeles Rams game. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN, to qualify. We'll be selecting the winner this Friday, so keep it locked in for your Pigskin Payout. Rex never minces words at all, and that's kind of what I like about him. Sounds like he's very down on both the Giants and the Jets coaching staffs, and outside of Zach Wilson in the future, just very down on both organizations at the moment.
Well, I don't know how you couldn't be, right? I mean, that's the reality of where these teams are at. And, I mean, you look at the Giants' defense, which was, I mean, that's where the question originated from.
Oh, they stink.
They've been bad. And, I mean, you haven't seen many adjustments. It's more of the same. So I understand what he's saying on that side. And then, I mean, with the Jets, at a certain point, like, I mean, I get that he's new to this. Like, Mike LaFleur is his first time calling plays. But as bad as Adam Gase was, and he was freaking awful, he was maybe the worst ever.
Dreadful.
At least, like, the first drive, they looked like some semblance of a real offense.
And consistently.
Yeah, and consistently. I mean, he's right. I mean, you practice all week. Like, the first 15, whatever you're scripted, like, that's where you're most comfortable. Like, your young quarterback should look most comfortable in that situation. And, I mean, when you look at the numbers in the first quarter and then the first half, you can't expect to win football games like that. You can't. Unless your defense has, like, a day like they did last week where, I mean, they're all over Tannehill, they sack him seven times, and then you miraculously pull one
out
late.
But that's the unicorn. That's not going to be consistent. I mean, how many times are you going to play a pretty good football team that doesn't have any of their receivers? Like, that's not realistic to think of that. This was a game I asked you on Friday.
But you just did almost. And you couldn't stop them.
Right. But my point, I asked you on Friday, how disappointed would you be? I mean, you can't have watched the Jets yesterday morning and feel good about what they were. They give you very little to feel positive about.
I feel awful about it. This is probably the worst I've felt about it. Because I felt like that was a game that was winnable. Not that they would win, but it felt winnable. And, I mean, from the beginning of the game, with that
You were run out of the building.
Yeah, but was it? I mean, it just, even from the feel of that awful call, it's like, okay, first possession, we got a chance to get off the field, and Quincy Williams gets flagged for roughing the passer, which was a Fugazi call.
Terrible call. It's embarrassing. Terrible call.
But there, I mean, it's all over the league. I mean, just don't let anyone hit the quarterback then. Like, I don't know what you want these guys to do.
Well, that's what it's become. You saw it in the Chiefs-Bills game last night. Chiefs score a touchdown to cut it to, I think, what was it, 11? Then they have a third down play. They stop. They pick them off, I think.
It's too much.
And they call, and I mean, they call personal foul.
Yeah,
and he did nothing.
The PI calls and everything else. The refereeing and the field
really
kicking
bad.
Yesterday was horrendous.
It's really, really
bad. But I'll tell
bad.
You what, Dave. I'm telling you, honest to God, as bad as it's been, and it has not, I mean, it has not been good, especially the first quarter and the first halves of these games, that sequence, those two plays where it's an easy dump off to Crowder, and all of a sudden you get the ball in his hands, and who knows what's going to happen. I mean, he bounces that in front of Crowder, and then the screen pass that we just talked to Rex about, where he throws it, and it was well dialed up. It was actually going to be a good play call, and he throws it off the back of Morgan Moses' head. It's like they're giving you the opportunity to make these throws underneath, take the easy play, and he could not make those throws.
Everything looks so difficult. It's almost, and this is such a weird thing to say, and by the way, this portion of the show brought to you by Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract and no compromise. If your pet is hurt in a car accident, Progressive pays up to $1,000 in vet expenses with free pet coverage. Visit Progressive.com. It's almost like the only time he's comfortable is when he's uncomfortable.
Yeah, when the play breaks down, when he has to
right?
make an unbelievable throw, when his feet aren't set and he's rolling around. I mean, they were talking about it last night. That would be something, and I get you to be gun-shy after watching these quarterbacks take the beating that they take, like between Jones and, I mean, we went through the list of guys that got dinged up yesterday. But, I mean, he's athletic enough. At least make that a threat. Like, at least him on third down or whatever it is, him picking up first downs with his feet, at least make that an option, a threat, so they have to respect that. But, I mean, the worry you have is that because it's so bad, and this kid is a really confident kid, but you can, I mean, you're starting to see it take the effect on him a little bit.
Well,
like, it's affecting
that.
Him.
And you get no favors, right? You come back from England
and then you go to New England
next week.
Yeah, now he's got no excuse because Davis Mills actually looked pretty damn good against New England.
Did you? I mean, I actually want to bring up the numbers. Let me. I got my phone. You'd appreciate this. I'm not looking him up online. I'm looking.
He threw
up
for three TDs.
I think he was like 22 of 29 yesterday.
Yeah, Mills was like he was surprisingly good against that defense.
21 of 29, 312 yards, three touchdowns. No interceptions and a QBR of 141.7. And then you could even say, well, yeah, but their running game, they ran the ball. Ingram, 16 carries, 41 yards. Lindsey, 5 for 19. Johnson, 2 for 5. So it's not like they had any semblance of a running game, and it was just, you know, it was in conjunction with a great running game, and he was successful. They couldn't run the ball, and he was still great yesterday.
Yeah, see, but this is the problem, though, too, and this is where you get yourself in trouble. When you're trying to develop young players, or more importantly, a young quarterback, and at the same time, because, I mean, let's face it, New York, there's tons of pressure. You're still trying to win games. That's not an easy balance. It isn't. I mean, that's ultimately what got Quinny fired with the Rangers.
Yeah.
Is you're trying to make the playoffs, but develop young players at
but
the same
thing
time.
That's
well, that's
so shocking to me is that we knew the Jets weren't going to be very good this year. Like if I tell you 4 or 5 wins, that and they have some. They play Houston, they play Jacksonville. I don't look at it as an easy game anymore, but they have Cincinnati on the schedule. Like they have Miami. They have some games that are somewhat winnable. But Atlanta was winnable, and all you need to do is compete in these games.
You can't compete with this offense, though. You can't.
But that's the thing. But how concerning is that? That you're playing Atlanta. And like we said about the Giants, never once did I think they were going to win this game. Same thing with the Jets. Never once did I realistically think they were going to win the game yesterday.
And the problem, though, too, is that because your offense is so inept, especially early in these games, it's starting to take a toll on your defense.
Of course, you can't be on the field for 90 plays.
No, but it was last week. You're on the field for over 90 plays. And then the first quarter of yesterday's game, you're on the field for 11 and a half minutes and 23 plays.
Right.
You're going to get worn down.
Had six plays offensively. DPHR Rothenberg brought to you by 7-Eleven. At 7-Eleven, use the 7NOW app for free delivery with code FREENOW. 7-Eleven, take it to 11. All right. There's been a lot to choose from today. It's been a feisty show. Let's find out where we go with our three stars.
Today's three stars.
All right. And today's three stars also brought to you by 7-Eleven.
Number three.
Number three goes to one man and one man only.
Dave Rothman and Deborah.
He had no idea what Rick's name was. You can ban him from the show. He won't know he's banned because DiPietro and Rothenberg is a rumor to him.
Number two.
Well, the league is going to get themselves $250,000.
Oh, Eli Gold bringing the gold on the Alabama Radio Network. They lost the game. He gave you 28 seconds of silence and then complained that the guys were storming the field against Alabama for losing.
He's a child, is what he was.
Yeah, he brought out his inner Rothenberg.
He was play-by-play Rothenberg at the end of that Texas A&M Alabama game. Totally
and
right.
And, of course,
number one
goes to one person and one person only.
How about them Cowboys?
That's right. Ray, there's four of us here that wish you a safe, healthy trip home, and then there's Dave Rothenberg. And that's it for three stars of the day, brought to you by 7-Eleven. At 7-Eleven, get a $1 any size iced coffee with 7 rewards. 7-Eleven, take it to 11.
You got to admit that Santiago was at a very high level of disgusting trolling yesterday.
Santiago was Zeke high-stepping into the end zone is what he was.
It was repulsive is what it was. Enjoy the day. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Plague a champion. It's DPHO Rothenberg and
everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.